You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. Quite a lot out today, David. Starting from the bottom, 7:05 this morning, Mr. Price came out with its numbers, its interims. Share price currently down around about 2.3%, I think. Pepco Group under the Steinhoff banner. So Steinhoff down 3%. I don't know. You'll have to comment on that one. And Motus came out with an operational and trading update. Share price up 2.75%. Mediclinic. Let's start with Mediclinic, because what is happening there? The offer. What is the offer? Is Remgo going to take out the whole lot, or is someone else buying it? What's happening?
Well, it does appear that a bid was made. Now, I can't remember seeing a SENS announcement. You know, that I cover every SENS announcement that comes out. And it's very possible I might have slipped up. But I think there was a newspaper article that came out, and that alerted the company to say, well, we have to disclose something. And I think they came out with the announcement today, making a bid for the shares that were not already held by Remgro.
Okay.
And Mediclinic came out and said, sorry, not going to do too low. So I think that was the backdrop to this, and obviously, but it has raised consciousness, and people are now looking at Mediclinic and saying, hold on a sec, there might be something there. There could be a follow through on this. So I mean, for the meantime, it's been rejected, but this was done at 4.60. So I don't know what the I don't know what that translates into in rand terms, but I think that was considered too low, and it was rejected. So but it means it's in play. You know, the fact that Remgro were party to this as well, I think, or whoever it is that wanted to make that offer. So interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting.
So what's 460p?
I don't know. You've got a calculator in front of you. Or your abacus.
19.26.
And where is it? Where's the share price now?
So let's go. 460 times 19.26.
Equals
8859. Yeah. Let's call it 8860.
8860. And where is it now?
And we're at 8350. So they rejected that. So the fact that they rejected that as being too cheap, I think, lifted the local price as well. But you don't know who's fiddling around, what they do, what this all means, and who the parties are. So anyway, but the board of Mediclinic, they noted this announcement. And this is what's interesting. The consortium comprised Remgro and a shipping company. Obviously, I don't know who that is, whether that is all part of the Remgro group itself. I don't know enough about them to say that. So, you know, they want to buy out these shares that they don't already hold. So why, I'm trying to work out why Remgro.
So that's Grindrod, in other words.
Well, it could be. Yeah, it could be all whoever it is. I don't know. But, I mean, why would Remgro want to, to buy out? Have they got nothing else to do with their cash?
That's what it amounts to, David. Mm. 20 years ago, they would have had lots of moving targets that they could have grabbed, and people would be competing, and it would be a vibrant environment. But now they're just saying, we've got to do some money. Our balance sheet is going to start to hack off investors. So let's deploy this capital somewhere. Let's do some spending, I think.
Yeah. I think Remgro is a group, I watch it from a distance. I've been watching it as long as I've been on the market. I mean, it's taken many, many forms, and when I say many forms, believe me, many forms. There were lots of subsidiaries and lots of alternate companies there, from Rembrandt Beheerende to Remgro itself to various other holding companies. And I mean, from Remgro, we've got a lot of companies that have been unbundled, most important of which was Richemont and call it British American Tobacco. But they also had, I think, Goldfields in their camp, in their stable that they unbundled, and a whole lot of other stuff. But I think I don't want to say it's got messy, but it's got nowhere. It for me, it doesn't hold the appeal that it used to have. And it was almost, It was an aristocratic company, and I'm saying that looking at their financial statements and where they are. Remember that Rembrandt, you know, which is actually a picture of Rembrandt von Ryan. But it was a premier business here. But I think, like all other holding companies, just running out of ideas and things to do. And you know, I would say the same thing for PSG. And for some of the other holding companies, it's not the first time I've said this, but you know, what's their purpose now? You know, why are they there? Mm. So whether this would have justified using the cash that they built up, I don't know. So,
all right,
we got to put pressure on them. You know, I want to be an activist and ask these questions. I know they'll swat me down. You know, get a fly swatter, hit you down. But I mean, because it's that. You know, it's been always a major company that everybody's looked up for. But I'm saying, why would I buy them? I know that they're trading at a discount, but what's there to grab me, you know, to make me want to buy this business?
Yeah, you're quite right. Let's have a look at some others now. MultiChoice came out with their numbers. Share price up 0.4%. They've only just come out with their trading update. I think it was yesterday. Tuesday, actually. Nothing much there to write home about.
They came down yesterday, so I think it's a slight improvement there. I looked at it from a distance as well. The numbers are down, and I looked at the subscriber numbers. And admittedly, I didn't go and start drawing and doing spreadsheets and comparisons that, but you quickly glance through and say, is there anything here that catches my eye? Not really. You know what I'm saying? It appears as though it's very difficult to keep growing their subscribers. I think you can only do that in a strong economy and also, where you're pushing out a lot of good local content.
Yeah, and Canal Plus, the French media giant, lurking in the wings all the time. So maybe you've got a Canal Plus put option there. Mm. I don't know. And maybe that's just an old story.
You know what? Mm. You're in the right direction, Lindsay. I think there is a market for that. It's funny, I've been watching on Netflix lately. I was watching an Israeli series, and then last night I watched also, which was out of Canal Plus, on De Gaulle.
Yes.
Very interesting. It's just, you know, how he broke away, went across to London during the war. He wanted to continue. So it's a very short period in his life, but very interesting and well done. So I'm saying there are productions that can appeal to even to a mass audience. Yeah. So it's you spend money. I'm sure you can get the viewership.
I just want to talk. We won't go through Motus or Pepco. What I want to look at is the first announcement that came out this morning. That's Mr. Price. Mm. The share price down 2.3%. And I think they flagged rising costs.
Yeah.
And I think in the outlook statement, which you always look at first, and you taught me to do that, so thank you. I think they're worried about inflation here. And whether they can pass it on. I mean, the headline is South African retailer Mr. Price warns of rising costs. So, so margin compression, in other words, is possibly what they're flagging here.
Absolutely. And look, you've got a lot of competition. I think the results, I don't want to say flattered, because they did some very good acquisitions. They haven't brought in Studio, I think it's called Studio 88.
That's right.
But they brought in Power Fashion and Yuppie Chef. So they are expanding. They're a good organization. I'm not going to criticize them at all. But I think competition's hotting up here. And if you're going to raise prices, you've got to be very sure that the market can handle it, because they can just go across the road. You know, there's 110 different other places that you can buy Studio 88 shoes or whatever it is. Mm. So it's getting tighter for companies here, for retailers here. And they had, Lindsay, the one thing that you must remember, we're in a period now where we're comparing with pre-COVID, in other words, with COVID. So where things were down. And I think the next set of results are going to be very important. And how they operate. So I think a lot of the gains that we're seeing are, when I say flattering, are as a result of a change in circumstances, you know, where people couldn't buy. But I think this year is going to be a lot more telling on how the retailers do. And you've got the added pressure of increased costs.
Yeah, and how you handle them.
So I think
and your ability to pass
exactly.
them on. I was saying to Wayne yesterday, I said, I got a tweet from a chap called Peter Schiff. He's a right winger and he's notoriously controversial, but he's good at what he does and he's made a lot of money out of doing what he does. But he put out a tweet to say that credit card debt in the United States of America rose by $17.8 billion last month. And the month and that was a second only to the previous month where it rose by $25.6 billion. And again, without providing any evidence. I think he's just trying to stir up an argument. He said, American consumers are completely tapped out and they're using their credit cards to buy basic essentials, i.e. food, and that's and maybe fuel for their cars. And he was flagging it as third time I've used that word, I won't use it again. He was highlighting it as a problem in the future because the consumer may not be able to do what he and she are doing at the moment. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's two angles to that. I think the wealthier people or higher income earners are probably in better shape. They've got lots of savings and they can take on the extra costs.
Yeah.
But I think down at the, call it middle income to lower income, I think are doing that. When you say they've tapped out, what they have done is they've spent all the savings, when they got those special allocations from government and from, because of COVID, which they saved and now have spent. And now I think they are going into their credit cards and that. The one thing that does help is that they are spending. And why I want to say they are spending is that the reason they're not saving is that they've got job security. So that is an issue because there are jobs for every unemployed person. I think there's two jobs available. So they are going to go up and max out and not worry about, hold on a sec, what happens if I lose my job? So I don't know what capacity they still have to spend, but they're certainly using their credit cards to do that. But if, for example, they were concerned about job security, especially in the spending recession or concerns about the recession, then they would hold back and perhaps not spend and not use their credit card for fear of not being able to, eventually pay down. But I think the fact that they've got job security and there's no threat, I think people are really going out and using their credit cards and spending as much as they can.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. I mean, I think the point that you're trying to illustrate or Peter Schiff is trying to illustrate, yes, they are spending on credit card. They haven't got the savings anymore.
Yeah. And the rising cost of living. I mean, just one thing. I mean, all over the newspapers in the UK today. Now, for an ordinary family car, and I'm not talking about, a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW, just an ordinary bog-standard family car which seats five people, it now costs £100 to fill it up because it's now £2 a litre. Or is it a gallon? No, it's a litre. £2 a litre. So it's £100 is a lot of money. If you translate it, it's now 2,000. And this is not for a Range Rover. As I said, it's just for a little compact. And people can't afford that. That's an awful lot of money. £100 quid.
I know. We're seeing the same thing here. I mean, it's crazy what it does cost to fill your car up. So, point taken. It's hurting. I don't go back. I haven't got my chart out yet. But, I mean, go back a year or 2 years, oil was 35, We're now 123.
Yes,
so it's got to hurt.
The other thing.
And I know tomorrow, Lindsay, I don't know whether it's going to take place, but they're supposedly not their protests at various places like BP's head office and everything, people protesting against the price of fuel. Now, I mean, it's silly. It's political because there's nothing people can do. That's what the crude price is. That's what you're going to buy. So, but I know there are protests here tomorrow against that. So it is hurting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much that the government can cut. I mean, it cut the tax on fuel a little while ago. It kept, I think it cut it by 5p or something, which is nothing. Yeah. That's out the window now. It's absolutely meaningless. But yeah, the windfall tax thing as well. Where does the windfall tax go if they do put it in? I just don't know. But anyway, it's a very, very tricky situation politically and economically. David, just on the inflation story, there was a survey about the cost of a pint of beer in a public house in London, in a pub. £8.06. £8.06.
For
one pint of beer. Not three pints. You're kidding. Last time I was there, you could get three pints. Okay, it might have been Foster's or something rubbish like that. Not a premium brand, but £8.06. And the average price across the country is £3.95, which is also fairly hefty. But if you're paying £8 in a central London pub, not a fancy restaurant, just an ordinary pub, nice pub, but ordinary, you're paying 140 to 150 rand for a pint. Come on now.
No, I understand. I mean, no, it's crazy. I just.
But if you go up to Lancashire.
It's got to lose. I mean, what happens is, it's got to it's got to result in what they're calling now demand destruction. People are not going to, be able to drink as much as they would normally. It's got to hurt it's got to hurt people's pockets. But that, why would beer be that? Why would it translate? I mean, is it the hops or the barley that goes into I don't know where, or the transport costs.
The raw ingredients and the transport costs. It's as simple as that. And also, I don't know whether it's rents or something. I'm not sure, but it's an awful lot of money. Mind you, David, if you go up north, you can get a pint in Lancashire for £1.79. So there's a huge divergence. It's almost worth getting on the train, going to Lancashire, having a couple of pints and coming back. Nice arbitrage there. Just very quickly as well.
I must be honest, I don't know what it costs here. I have no idea what it
costs. It's about 50 or 60 for a pint. I'm not sure. Wesley would know, but the sound engineer who's doing is listening to us now. I think it's probably 50, 60 rand a pint.
Sure.
So it's still a third of the price of what's going on in central London, but it's still expensive. The one thing that happened today, David, the ECB, the European Central Bank, and Christine Lagarde, she made a speech. They've decided not to raise interest rates, but they have said we are going to raise interest rates at the July meeting by 25 basis points. And in real, for normal people, that's a quarter of a percent. But I looked at the thing. The rates are minus 0.5% at the moment. So if they raise by 25 basis points, it's still negative, still minus a quarter. Yeah. They are going to slowly withdraw their bond buying program. So liquidity coming out the market. And if you have a look at the market now, and I'm going to give you the spot prices, but I'll give you the European markets now. DAX down 1.75%, FTSE down 1.4%, CAC 40 down 1.4% as well. Completely underperforming both South Africa and the United States of America.
I don't know why you get the reaction, because I don't think there's anything surprising about what she said other than she delayed it. But they did downgrade growth and one would have expected it. So I'm not sure why the markets are suddenly saying, oh, wow. I mean, this is no surprise. They've certainly signaled what was going to happen. And if anything, I thought maybe the delay would have just brought some buyers back. But I think the concerns are building up and the news is building up. I've got to say something, though.
Yes.
U.S. markets are not taking the hammering.
No, they're not.
That I thought they would. They're actually holding up very well. There might be another shoe dropping after we get quarterly results. In other words, after the June quarter, which will come up by this time next month. You'll start getting results coming through for the second quarter, and there might be issues there that are scaring investors in that. But for the meantime, it's holding. I'm still saying that we're probably close to the bottom, but I'm certainly, I'm not in the mood to go out, rush out and buy yet. If I got fresh money, if I got new money coming in, I would take a bite. I would take about a look at about a third of it, or maybe not as much as 40%, but just get my toe in the water and then wait. That's how I feel at the moment.
Okay.
We're coming close to the bottom. But I'm not wildly bullish.
No, you're not. You don't have that normal ebullient enthusiasm that that Shapiro is renowned for. Okay, let's have a look here, because the dollar rand was 15.18 this morning at about 7, 8 o'clock. It's now weakened to 15.42. So dollar rand 15.42, British pound against the rand 19.31, 140 for a pint of beer in central London. Euro rand is 16.43, euro dollar 106.55, which is a dollar that is stronger by 0.4%. And the British pound.
I think there's also a worry with the pound, eh? You know, there's also talk about slowdown in housing in the US and that. So there are also concerns building up there. And I suppose if you had to then decide, you're going to shift maybe to the dollar and say, okay, look, if anybody's going to come out of this party in good health, it's more likely to be the US than anything else that we're hearing at the moment.
Yeah, you're quite right. Commodities, gold, $18.43, down $6.50. Platinum has taken a whack to the tune of $36 to $9.71. And palladium was above 2,000 earlier this week. It's now only just clinging on to 1,900, 1,908, which is a $21 fall, which is quite hefty. The crude oil price just keeps... It stays up there. It's off its highs. It was above 124. But it's still, these numbers are still going to filter through the economy for many, many months to come. I'm convinced of it. 123.40 for Brent crude oil, which is down slightly, but nonetheless still very elevated. Crude oil in the United States, West Texas Intermediate, 121.70, which is down a third of a percent. Natural gas has fallen in a heap. It was 9.35, 9.40 a few days ago. It's now 8.65, which is quite a big percentage move. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield, it's 306, David, or 305 and a half. But it's been ticking up all day. And the South African 10-year, close to 10, it's 998. Bitcoin, 30,160, which is down a percent. And, interesting stuff. Give us the indices, if you would, the JSE closing indices.
Another bad day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just seem to be drifting down, little by little by little. Now we're below the 69,000 level, so we closed at 68,911, which was down 1.49%. So that's another knock to this market and right across the board. So a big sell-off in miners, but industrials, which were lifted yesterday by process and aspects, are down again. So it wasn't a good day. So just to give you some of the indices in the resource market, down 2.15%. That's a resource 10. Precious metals and mining, which is mainly the platinum and gold stocks, down 3.23%. Banks again weaker, 1.29% down as well. Overall, financials off. And then consumer discretionary down 2.2%. And overall, the industrial 25 down 1.15%. So, it doesn't sound dramatic, but it's just every day we seem to be losing momentum. So a lot of the momentum we built up in the early part of the year, so it just seems to be going.
Okay.
I think,
Which is it?
I've got to look at what I like to look at as well. I mean, it's not only, I know you've got your top stocks, but I try and find something else.
Yes, please.
Just one result that came out that was pretty decent was Bikini Property.
I saw that, but I didn't think you followed that.
Yeah, well, I know Lawrence Rapp, and I always follow him. He, you know, most of his retail, first of all, he's gone into Spain as well, which is doing okay. But he also, he's in kind of suburban, or what do you call it, rural shopping centers, which just seem to be doing okay. You know, they're not finding the same kind of pressure. So, a decent number, and the share was up 4.7%. So that's just one of the better features around here,
Very good. Did you give me the top 40 and the all share and the value traded, David? I can't remember now.
No, I haven't given you the value traded. As we started to speak, it was around about 15 billion. So
oh dear.
It closed, call that 20.4.
Okay.
Which is pretty low. And once, what's interesting, for the second day in a row, a lot of trade in MySpace, made up 15.3% of the market. I haven't seen that since, for many a time, So Prosus also 9.7. So a lot of money going into both of those, MySpace and Prosus. Both of them were up today, not dramatically, but, in a sea of red. I think those were two features.
Very good. David Shapiro, thank you very much for your time as always. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.